Hello, everybody. Cal Banion here with Banion's Hypnosis, etc. with Celeste Hackett. What we do here is we try to bring fun, informative, and news kinds of information from the world of hypnosis, spread it along, and do our best to maybe give our 2 cents worth to help build the profession. Celeste, how you doing?
Hey, Cal, I'm doing just fine. Having myself a nice cup of tea. My husband is British, so he always makes me tea a lot of times for the show. You don't even know I'm drinking it when you're talking.
So what kind of tea do you drink?
We drink at this moment Tetley tea. Comes in a blue box.
I drink coffee. How American.
I like coffee too. But as you know, it makes me even more hyper. So I try to stay away from that right before a show these days.
Hey, you know, this last year I went to London and did a class, a week of power class there. And they insisted upon our graduates in London teaching me about British ale. And I learned that I have one new favorite British ale, and it's called tea. T-E-A. Well, it's actually the name of a British ale. And T stands for traditional, okay? And then the E is English, and then A is ale. So I'd say, give me some tea. And then they'd give me some ale, which was a pretty good thing.
Well, that's amazing. I never knew about that. But I plan on going there to meet with Nikki. You know Nikki Kassar?
Do I? She's like one of our lead people over there in the UK.
She's great. I love her. And I hope to go over there one day and say hi. Hi to everybody in Britain.
Cool. Maybe we'll go there next year. Like, well, I'm not going in 2007, but 2008. And maybe we'll drag you along.
Yeehaw. I would love it.
Good, good. Hey, well, let's see. I know what we were doing. Oh, before I do that, let me finish my announcements. For all you guys who are watching this on Google or Blip TV or somebody else's website, gosh, the links and references that we make reference to are right down there underneath the video. And so if you want to find out where Celeste's new underground video is, the link is right down there. Okay, Celeste, let's get on into part two. We were talking about really the wisdom of Celeste Hackett after graduating and putting together in your real office with real clients. Tell us what your first few hundred sessions have taught you.
Well, Cal, you know, I hope that if people really want to know about this, they will read some of those E-Zine articles, because I kind of hinted at it. When you talk about what it's taught me, I think you actually, the last question you had before we ended the last podcast was how it changed my life. So are we doing what it taught me or how it changed my life? Which one?
What do you want to do? You're in charge. You're back from your hiatus, and I just want the world to get plenty of you to make up for the time that they missed.
Okay, because I got all ready for how it changed my life, and I do really want to talk about that. Because why do people do hypnosis? It's not just for the clients. We love it. It makes us feel good, and we go through changes, and some of them are pretty amazing. Cal, I'm sure you went through yours, and I went through mine too. And when I first started using 5-Path and I started my own business, one of the biggest changes truly was monetary, a financial change. Because before I actually married my husband, most people don't know this, but I was homeless. And I had a little bit of savings I was living on, and I was living with this friend and that friend and just kind of traveling around. And I didn't have any roots. And so just starting a business after I got married, it was either start a business and do something really with this hypnosis thing that I liked so much, you know, or go work at Walmart, because the bottom had fallen out of radio broadcasting, if you recall, before I was a radio announcer. So my life was really changed by 5-Path and doing hypnosis, just by starting a business that really truly worked. And I was very nervous those first months, but I really didn't need to be, because right from the beginning I had a goal of making only $2,000 a month. That was my share of the expenses. The first month I think I made $1,700, and after that it's gone up every month. And so much so that I was able to buy a house. It's not the most expensive house in the world, but my husband was also a radio announcer, and he also took a huge pay cut. So we were really struggling and trying to pay bills and getting behind. And so from the point of monetary, it was really a huge change for the better for both of us. So that's one thing. I'll take a break so you can say something now.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're not in that third story by the dumpster apartment anymore that you mentioned in part one.
Yes, although it was good for me at the time. No, we're not there anymore. We got a 3-bedroom house, and it's still in the same area of Plano because we had such luck with the clientele in this area. So we just bought a house only a few blocks away from that apartment.
That's so cool. So if someone told you, oh, I don't have the money to get into this profession, what would you say to them?
I passed out flyers at first, and I can tell you, I just printed them on my computer, and it really didn't cost that much money. I did that for about 6 months, and then on the 1st of January, you know, January 1st, 2006, I did actually put about $1,000 into a website, which has been the biggest investment that I made, other than training, which was, you know, your training was a big investment. And right off the bat, I was getting clients, and it was probably even more than I really wanted because I was scared while I was learning. And I never really have had trouble with money at all since this. I mean, I always want to buy more stuff, but I mean, in terms of being able to pay my bills and run the business, yeah, we can all use more money, but I'm able to do what I want to do. And it's so great to be independent and not have to work for somebody else. That has been my dream. I never thought I was smart enough, Cal, and thanks to you and Maureen, you know, I am, to my amazement.
I knew you were smart because in class you were asking questions that even made me think.
Yeah, I remember you almost threw your pen at me one time.
Yeah, instead I just threw it up in the air, if I remember right.
That's what you did. And I was right in the front, and I'm sure my eyes were so big because I was, you know, you that whole story about how seeing somebody on TV first and then you see them live and they're like, you know, just a star. That's the way you were to me. And so I had already seen all the videos, and a lot of the people in the class had not seen the videos yet. I had the class on video, and so I had probably a few more, maybe a little bit more advanced questions than some of the people. And I was so eager to find out some things. It was a wonderful time going to your class.
Well, thank you very much. So you had the 5-Path DVD set first, right?
That's right. And then I went on the Banyan Online Supervision for a little while and bothered the heck out of you there. Then I continued after the class with you live, and the rest is history. Now I'm running a 5-Path study group on those CDs.
Beautiful. Hey, and also, you know, as I'm thinking about, there used to be a song, something, TV killed the radio star. And I'm thinking podcasting saved the radio star, because now we've got you here and you look better than you probably sounded. I mean, now those who are watching the video get to see you, and you have such a pleasant personality and shall we say bouncy personality.
Thank you, Cal. You know, to be honest, it was really painful not having a voice for a while, because I was used to anytime something happened in my life that I thought was interesting or I read about something, I had a microphone in front of my face, you know, 6 days out of the week, so I could talk about it on the air. And then for a couple of years, not having that ability to talk to more people, it was really hard. But then I got to start writing for the e-zine, which gave me a voice too, you know, albeit rather small, but it was fun. And now this is really great. I'm really enjoying this.
Beautiful. And I look forward to you becoming a trainer and having your school open. And by the way, I'm going to kind of let a little secret out right now. And that is, by the beginning of the first of the year, we're going to do some tremendously cool stuff with our affiliate program. And it's going to really help you to let people know about your classes and my classes all around the world. And so you better get your school all licensed, because I want to help you fill those seats.
It's definitely going to happen. I'm not going to back down or stop until it does happen. I'm so excited and ready. I've got you remember South Fork from Dallas, Cal? The ranch?
No.
Okay, it's a famous ranch. If you were a Dallas viewer, TV viewer, if you like the series, you'd remember South Fork. It was the ranch where everybody stayed. And so it's famous here in Dallas. Dallas is known for Kennedy being shot and killed here in South Fork. And I'll be teaching the classes at South Fork Hotel, which is owned by the same people who own the ranch now. And they're going to have daily shuttles out to that ranch. So it's going to be a really neat place for people to come and learn 5-Path here in Dallas.
Beautiful. And just get their certification from NGH also, right?
That's right, definitely.
You know, I've taken to calling our courses a super course, because it gives the NGH certification, it has their core curriculum, and then we add 5-PATH and 7-PATH to it. Hey, Celeste, let me ask you something on this same topic. You know, we talked about financially. How about personally or philosophically or spiritually? How has doing 5-PATH and 7-PATH affected your life?
Well, of course, when you go through 5-PATH training, when you're helping other people, you're working with emotions, and we're taught how people experience emotions and what each feeling means and so on. And so I've learned to apply the secret language of feelings in my life, which has helped my marriage and helped me to help friends work out different problems that they've had. But one of the things that's kind of interesting is doing the sessions. You know, there's so many times when we say to them, does it have to be perfect or does it have to be good enough really? Come on, let's just look at this. You know, we'll say this to the grown-up as they're, you know, talking to the little one. And so in my own life, I've started really applying that. You know, a lot of times I didn't realize how I was so worried about everything being perfect. And now I'm thinking, you know, just, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, I'm never going to be perfect anyway. I mean, what is that? You know, I'm pretty enough, and especially I'm 45 now. So as you get older, you know, at some point you have to deal with the fact that, you are getting older. And so it's just been a nice relief for me. It's taken pressure off of my relationship. And so that's a really big, powerful thing that's happened.
Yeah, and God, I just had a birthday, and it's been a lot of fun. This last, I don't know, when did I get started in this? I went full-time in 1996, and I think doing hypnotherapy has been the greatest growth experience for me in my life.
And of course, whenever I have any sort of an issue come up, or I need motivation, or I'm scared of something, I'm applying everything that I know. If I find that, you know, I'm feeling a little nervous, I'll feel it before I'll really know what's going on in my head. All I know at first is I feel bad. So then I, you know, can tune in and ask myself, you know, if this feeling could talk, what would it say? And it's usually going to be some sort of anxiety or fear or stress or something. So then I ask myself, okay, well, Celeste, what might happen? And so then I do a reality check. Can that really happen? Or, if it can really happen, then I have the ability or I'm able to take measures right then to keep something bad from happening. So, you know, Cal, that's just one feeling right there that 5-PATH has helped me learn to master through the secret language of feelings. That's just one thing. And it's just been very huge for me, and that, you know, when you think about, there's guilt, there's sadness, there's anger. I'm a much more balanced person.
Are you still as much fun as you ever were?
Yes.
Sure.
Annoying as as annoying as ever. I bounce a lot.
Yes, I've seen the video.
I know.
All right, hey, I think that I would like to maybe. I don't, if there's anything else you want to share that's important, and then we'll move on to, I can't believe how controversial this is. Sometimes I even get hate mail. I'm stirring it up with these dumb hypnotist tricks. Why don't you wrap up what you were talking about, and we'll get on to the dumb hypnotist trick.
Well, one time, because, again, I'm 45, and I'm starting to look older. Yeah, let's just be honest. I look in the mirror, and things are not in the same place. They're starting to sag a little bit, more lines, etc.
Celeste, have you ever heard of the phrase TMI?
Cal, you're especially vulnerable to me expressing myself like this.
We envision that everything is perfect over there.
Well, it's not, but it mostly is, you know. But anyway, so one particular day, I was feeling very bad, and my dog is actually whining over there. He must be feeling my feelings right now. But anyway, I was just really feeling bad about getting older. I guess I must have been sort of scared about it too. And so I did an interesting thing in my head, which I'm sure I got from 5-PATH, only in sort of a backwards way, where I got in a very relaxed position, and I imagined the grown-up me in the future, age 85, talking to me about aging, and she told me I look great. And from that moment on, I felt very good about it. So you see what I'm saying? Is she's like, you know, it's all in perspective. When you look back, you know, things are never as bad as they seem. And so for a little while, I was 85. And I looked back and I said, you know what? You're really not that old. You're really very young.
I don't understand this preoccupation that people have with youth. See, my goal is to live to be about 150 years old and just to, you know, have fun and be healthy. You know, I'm more excited about just being healthy and living a quality life. I mean, you know, I ride almost 100 miles every week on my bicycle just because it's good to be out there, to be alive and vibrant, and it adds to the quality of my life.
Yeah, well, absolutely, you know, but just to be frank, you know, I did go through that for a little while. Just one of the things that happened to me. For a little while, I felt really scared about getting older, and I had to deal with it some way. And so, you know, other than just doing self-hypnosis and doing my meditation and my seventh path, which helps, of course, tremendously, it was fun to kind of do that little thing in my head, just like, you know, informed child, only sort of a little twist on it.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Yes, and it kind of reminds me, I'll mention some of the topics I intend to talk about in the future. And one of them is age progression and the value of it in our hypnosis practice. Another one is, I'm looking down at my screen here, my new definitions, actually they're not new, but I just recently published them on hypnosis.org, some proposed definitions of hypnosis and suggestibility. And then I think this one's going to be something I've already got some feedback on it because I did a short, really brief article on it on calbanion.com. And that is the informing soul technique, where we actually work with the pre-incarnated soul. I'm not known for a lot of that kind of foo-foo, fluffy stuff, but since Kelsey on one of the episodes talked so much about being careful about getting too spiritually high or no earthly good in your practice, I want to balance that out a little bit, and I'm going to get into a little bit of that foo-foo stuff. How's that sound to you, Celeste?
Cal, I saw the little thing that you wrote on Informed Child, and I jotted down a couple of things from it. That very day, I had a case where I needed to use it with my session. It absolutely saved my session. So, yeah, I love it, and I think you should write some more about it. Go in depth.
Do you mean the informing soul technique?
Uh-huh, that's right. I had a client who went to, from conception, she felt unwanted. She went all the way back to conception. There was no place in her life that she felt loved or wanted or good enough or anything. And I can't remember the exact line that you said, but I had the note right there. And so I said, now in a moment, I'll count from three back to one, I think. I said that, and we'll go back to before you enter the body, 3, 2, 1. And then I had the soul, had her connect with some of the wise spirits around. And so she got the information as to why she was coming into this world. And the lady, she changed completely. She walked in with the droopiest face and just walked out thrilled. And, you know, the best part is a few days later, I got a phone call from her saying, I feel so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's working.
I am planning on doing a whole workshop on that. And I think it's going to end really putting some more emphasis on that in the future. All right, I think it's time for you to give me something from the list, our dumb hypnotist trick for this.
Okay, I have the secret file. I'm pulling it out of the secret file. Let me see which one I want to do here. Oh, actually, it's on the computer. Judging how good of a hypnotist you are by working on your friends and relatives.
Oh, boy, is this a dumb hypnotist trick? Well, okay, so Celeste, what I'm talking about here is I'll see some very good people go through my course. And gosh, they're smart, they're intelligent, they just have really everything they need in their personality and their intellect and their talents to go out there and be great hypnotists. And then what do? They start working on their friends and family. And you know what? They get shot down. I'll tell you what, trying to judge how good you are at hypnosis by really how well you hypnotize your husband or your child is like Russian roulette. You know, you sooner or later you're going to die. The thing is that I really preach in our classes that what we want to do is have professional relationships. Now, this is kind of complicated. I'm going to try to make this very, very short and concise. There's two issues here. One is judging whether or not you can hypnotize people, and the other is professional relationships. Let me knock the first one out. The first one is, when you do hypnosis with someone, it's different when you're working with someone who's paid you. They've laid down their money and come to see you about a service because you have what's called a professional relationship. If you get out of class, like I was talking about, this person, so smart, so skilled, so caring, has all the right talents, goes out there and then can't hypnotize her husband. And then she goes, oh gosh, I guess it only works in class, or maybe I was just kidding myself, and then they quit. When really, hypnosis is a dance, and her husband or her brother or her child, they're just not following instructions, or they're afraid that if they allow themselves to be hypnotized, it will change the relationship in some way, like an unevenness of power, or that, you know, from then on, she will have some kind of special power over them, like she just snaps her finger and they take out the trash or something like that. So it's really kind of a fear thing that's inhibiting the hypnosis. And so don't judge how good a hypnotist you are by how well you can hypnotize friends and family. Now, having said that, as long as you understand that your friends and family may inhibit the hypnosis process, it's okay to practice on them. But if it doesn't work as well as it did in class, then that's because there's some other variables going on that don't happen when you're really working with a client. Can you add anything to that, Celeste?
I hypnotized my husband right off the bat. Mistake. That's all I have to add.
Well, so did I. I mean, I've hypnotized my wife, I've hypnotized my daughter, and it all worked good. But one of the things, the dynamic for me and in my family was how they frame you. And they framed me as someone that when I get into something, I really, really study it and I really, really know what I'm doing. I was also a talk therapist with, you know, a master's degree in psychology. So in their mind, of course, Dad or my husband, Cal, could hypnotize me. That just fit in with what they thought about I would be able to do. But if you're in a relationship where there's not that kind of confidence, then it can be a problem.
Yeah, and I was a disc jockey, so.
Yeah, so you don't have to be a hypnotist. I mean, a talk therapist with a master's degree in psychology to be able to hypnotize your friends and family. But I just want to say, don't judge how good your techniques are by how well friends and family respond. Now, let me move on to the second part. The second part is professional relationships. There's something I learned back when I was a talk therapist and going for school in psychology that I really hold on to until today. And that is that you want to avoid what's called dual relationships. And that is when you work with someone as a hypnotist, you want your relationship with that person to be pure. Especially if you're learning really powerful techniques like age regression, parts work, and these kinds of things, because you discover stuff, and they are what I call insight processes. And what happens is that people can reveal stuff that they haven't thought about in a long time, and it might be embarrassing for them. Or if a mother was hypnotizing her daughter and doing like age regression, and then take her back to the cause of the problem, and gosh, the hypnotist who's the mother was part of the cause of the problem, that can really be tough on the relationship. So one of two negative outcomes generally occur, and one is the client is able to inhibit recovering that information, you know, just not being truthful. It might come up, but then they just won't share it. Or if it's an age regression, they won't relive it for fear of changing the relationship. The other thing that happens is that because someone inhibits the reliving of the experience in the case of age regression work or other kinds of therapies where we do insight work, then what happens is that the work becomes ineffective. And let me just say one thing here. I use the word therapy, and if we're working with a someone who is ill and we're trying to move them towards health and wholeness, which we would do, of course, in a partnership with a psychological professional or a medical professional, then we'd be doing therapy. But most of the time, we're just doing the good work of hypnotism. How's that, Celeste?
That is fantastic. I love it.
All right. Why don't you wrap us up? I think we're right about our time limit.
Yeah, I think we probably are. I'm Celeste Hackett. Thank you for joining us. You've been watching Hypnosis Etc., where we talk about all kinds of stuff that have to do with hypnosis. Now, if you have a question about hypnosis, you can go to Ask Cal. You'll find Ask Cal at ourhypnospace.com. Any question about hypnosis at all, we love to answer your questions. I'm Celeste Hackett. My practice is Family First Hypnosis. Visit it at familyfirsthypnosis.com. Thank you. See you later.
Yes, and this is Cal Banyan of calbanyan.com, hypnosiscenter.com, banyanhypnosismall.com, banyanhypnosiscenter.com, and I could go on and on. Remember, if you have questions, send them to www.askcal.ourhypnospace.com. And that's it. It's a wrap. See you later. Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.